This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, Malcolm Holine Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. And we're very pleased and welcome our guest, Bilal Wahab, Nathan and Esther K. Wagner Fellow at the Washington Institute, to help us unpack stories from Iraq about election results. AP, within these last days, Iraq's Shiite militias that often serve as a proxy for neighboring Iran have taken a beating in Iraq's election, while a Shiite cleric who sets himself apart by taking a more nationalistic approach has emerged as Iraq's strongest political figure. Bilal, a very good evening to you. The figure, of course, is very well known to us, Muki Sadr. However, the question of Iraq's militias being set aside by the electorate in Iraq, is this a surprise? And what happens when the next shoe drops? Good evening to you, Bilal.
Good evening, John, and thank you for having me back. The context of these elections, before I specifically address your question, is actually equally important, because in 2018, the last round of elections, it was a bad election for Iraq. Half of the parliament ended up populated by militias who took Iraq in a direction that the majority of Iraqis did not like. They deepened patronage and corruption and increasingly took Iraq closer and deeper into the Iranian sphere of influence. That resulted into a backlash in 2019. There were mass protests that broke out across central and southern Iraq. Some 700 people were killed, thousands were injured, but they did force the prime minister to resign, install the new prime minister, and may gave him the mandate of holding early new elections. And that's what happened on October 10th. And as you pointed out, and as the reporting has been, there has been some changes and some shuffling in the political landscape. Yes, Muqtada al-Sadr, that once was actually America's number one Shia enemy in Iraq, is now looks a lot better compared to the pro-Iranian militias that have emerged victorious, definitely since the war against ISIS. He is more nationalist, definitely less predictable, and has a very solid support base, both religious and loyal to his family. And a lot of people voted for him because they saw him as the only character, perhaps the strongest character to stand up to these militias, given his support and given his own militia, actually.
Malcolm. The United States, how do you see them interpreting this development, given that Muqtada al-Sadr has refused to meet with American officials and still seems to be pretty close to the political establishment in Iran? Do they think this has any presence for the very limited number of troops we have in Iraq as well?
I mean, the United States is not an occupying power anymore, and the United States is not actively engaged in combat as it did in 2014, 2017, when ISIS occupied a third of the country. The relationship right now is very different. There are only 2,500 soldiers in Iraq. Their mission will change to a purely advise and assist mission as of January 1st of 2022. On the one hand, on the other, the relationship is not dictated by one party or the other. It's part of a U.S.-Iraq mutually agreed upon strategic framework agreement. So it has longevity. It carries both political and legal weight and continuity from one administration to the other. But that's not what Iran is. Iran, in fact, during the Trump administration's maximum pressure, used Iraqi soil to transfer guns and weapons to its allies in the region, but also use the Iraqi market and the Iraqi wealth to basically stealing and cashing out on its influence in Iraq to withstand and kind of soften the blow of the sanctions. And that's what really turned the Iraqi public so harshly against Tehran. Now, the militias who have political wings would basically put Iraq very closely aligned to Iran, and they would demand the end of U.S.-Iraq relations. Sadr, on the other hand, wants everyone out. and wants to have normal relations with the countries. And for where we are today in the U.S.-Iraq relationship, Sadr's nationalism, which is a balanced relationship with everyone and all occupying forces should be out, definitely sounds a lot better than the other side that said that Iraq should be subservient to Iran and U.S. and Western allies should leave. So in a way, we're going from an assured path of Iraq becoming subservient to Iran into the unknown, into a more chaotic scene where Muqtada al-Sadr basically says, I want everyone out, but the embassies are welcome.
Bilal, about the Kurds, does Sadr have any relationship with the Kurds whatsoever, or does this his strength mean the Kurds are going in another direction?
So the Kurds actually had a good showing in this election, generally speaking. They had good seats. They were more united. And I should also point out that this election had low turnout, only 41%. But in fact, in terms of quality, in terms of the process, it was a lot more credible than previous elections. The Kurds had a good showing. They're definitely more united than they were in 2000 and, compared to previous elections, definitely 2018. Sadr, who is the main victor, let's say, in the Shia house, and Masoud Barzani, the head of the Kurdistan Democratic Party, as the main victor in the Kurdish house, they have a lot in common. They're both charismatic leaders. They have a very strong and loyal support base. They are very apt and efficient at running politics, and they both see themselves as being above politics and above government, having that kind of a supra-government politics persona. So they have a lot in common to get along. The problem that the Kurds have with Sadr is that Sadr is unpredictable, and he could switch in a heartbeat. And the Kurds right now seek stability. They want, they have a lot of issues on the disputed areas where ISIS is active. They want a steady flow of cash and budget from the Iraqi government. And on these issues, if Sadr were to make commitments and for Barzani were to believe them, they definitely can make for a significant electoral mass in the Iraqi parliament, because the Sadrists, as to the preliminary results, have 73 seats and the KDP has some 32 seats. So that alone is a significant mass. If they were to agree and they were to basically find ways to build confidence to each other's promises.
We have less than 2 minutes.
Can I? Yeah, I'll ask quickly about the talks between Saudi Arabia and Iran, which were brokered, it seems, by the Iraqi prime minister. What do you think the significance is and of Iraq's role in this?
This is the Iraqi government taking agency. For years now, the Iraqi government and Iraq as a country has basically just been beaten from right and left and being passive. But now it says this government, this new prime minister, is actually with the help, basically a duo of the Iraqi president, Barham Saleh, and Iraqi prime minister. Both are outward looking. They have an activist foreign policy, and they are engaging in a better Middle East, in a better neighborhood, what Iraq can actually benefit from stability rather than be the victim of conflict. When the Saudis and the Iranians were having trouble, much of the conflict played out on Iraqi soil. So it only makes sense for Iraq to use its leverage, its influence, to bring these sides together so Iraq itself can actually be safer. And I think it's a very smart strategy, and so far it seems to be working. And of course, the de-escalation that the Biden administration has also been pushing has definitely helped in that direction.
Bilal Wahab is the Nathan and Esther K. Wagner Fellow at the Washington Institute. He's taught at the American University of Iraq in Soleimani. He established the Center for Development and Natural Resources. Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.